What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello, Anna. Hi.
Hi, Shireen.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous. Surprise, surprise. Today, as the title might suggest, we are going to be talking about Rami. We get into some spoilers, so if you haven't seen the whole thing, I don't know, maybe skip around, maybe skip this one, whatever. But also watch the show if you haven't seen it. We talk about Rami, we talk about just Muslim culture in general, and did I miss anything? I don't know.
No, that's it. And then at the very end, we do talk spoiler full of Don't Worry, Darling. So don't worry, we give you a warning, so just be aware.
Don't worry, darling. That was me telling you guys to, okay, I'm gonna shut up. Listen to the show, bye.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Good, good. You know, a little under the weather, but I'm here.
Yes, you are here. You sound good, all things considered. Yeah, we're doing it.
We're doing it. You know, the weather's finally getting cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it rained for the first time in a long time. A couple of days ago, I woke up with the sound. I mean, you probably woke up too. It was like just raining outside. And I love waking up like that. I know I'm like maybe privileged because people maybe are sick of rain where if they live somewhere with rain all the time, I fucking love the rain. And it was really nice to wake up to rain. So I was happy that it had some where it's cooling down because that's more my vibe. I would rather bundle up, you know, than put on sunscreen all the time. Well, you should still put on sunscreen all the time. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should definitely still wear sunscreen no matter what the weather looks like.
Yes.
Sunscreen is a year-round, always endeavor.
Yes, exactly. I guess I was imagining, like, putting it on my body. You know what I mean? Like, in the winter, I just put sunscreen on my hands and my face, and I put clothes on. But in the summer, I feel so much more exposed. You should also even wear sunscreen inside, if you didn't know that, everybody.
You definitely should, because if you're next to a window, guess what can come through the window? Sun.
The sun. But yeah, I like that it's getting a little bit colder. I bought these rain boots last year, like, right before it rained. Like, I invested in these really cute rain boots that I found, these, like, yellow classic little rain boots. Uh-huh. And the one day that it rained, I remember, it started raining when I was already out of the house and I wasn't fucking wearing them. So I never got a chance to wear these stupid fucking rain boots. And so now this year, a year fucking later, I get to wear these stupid rain boots maybe one day. I haven't worn them yet, but we'll see.
I just want to give you an update that Ace is, in fact, currently chasing his tail.
Oh.
And acting quite surprised that it exists. You should see him right now. He's like...
It's so funny that dogs, like, do that.
He, like, chases it and then gives me, like, a shocked face when he stops. And I'm like, what do you think this is?
It's funny that the memory span of an animal, you know, because they do that all the time. And each time they're surprised or confused. Oh, I see him in the background. Little blur.
He just ran off because he knows we're talking about him.
Oh, yeah, he probably figured it out. But yeah, today, because you were a little bit under the weather, you had a chance to binge watch some TV and you finished Rami season 3. So we get to talk all about it today.
Yes, I had some... alone time with my television. Mm-hmm. So I was able to finally zap through the end of Rami season 3. I also watched a lot of Better Things season 5, which I didn't even realize season 5 was out. And then I was like, oh shit, here we go, baby.
I've never seen that show.
I like it. It's pretty surreal.
Better Things. I don't even know. I can't even imagine who's in it. Better Things.
It's Pamela Adlon's show.
Oh. Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's pretty good. I enjoy it.
It's on Hulu. Okay, good to know.
It's on Hulu, originally an FX show.
I mean, now that I think about it, like, maybe I've seen, like, a billboard for it, because this looks familiar, the image, but no, I've never seen it. Maybe I'll give it a go.
You should. It's really... I like it. Like, there's no, like, real through, like, streamline of a narrative. It's just that Pamela Adlon, it's basically, like, based on her real life, mm-hmm. where she plays, like, an actress, voiceover actress, who, like, you know, started when she was a kid. So she's, like, famous from her kid. It's basically Pamela Adlon's real life. And then also, like, her raising her three daughters without their dad, mm-hmm. who was, like, kind of like a French director who kind of fucked off. So she had to, like, raise her kids by herself, which is her literal mm-hmm. true life.
Is that a real life thing?
Yes,
oh,
that's
it's a real life.
Okay. The father isn't, like, portrayed as, like, French in the show, but he definitely, like, they say he, like, lives in France or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, it's, like, it's all, her three daughters, like, are based off her literal three daughters, and it's, and it's, like, her dealing, like, the most recent season is, like, her dealing with her, like, one of her daughters changing their pronouns and her being, like...
Interesting.
Her just saying, like, really crazy shit, and her daughters, one of her daughters is so no-nonsense, her character is so good. Like, she's like, Mom, why do you always have to refer to us as your daughters? We're just your children. And, you know, like,
yeah,
like, why are you always trying to label us? And she's like, because my whole life I've had three daughters. And it's just, you're just, like, watching, like, a Gen Xer trying to come to terms with all of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's in Hollywood, so... I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder how her kids feel about, or just her family in general feel about their lives like that.
I think all her kids are now actors as well. I don't know. I don't, like, keep up with them or anything, but, like, I looked at their Instagrams when I was, you know, laying up, because I was curious what they're like in real life. And it just feels like they're all just, you know, like, cool Hollywood kids who are, like, also acting or being creative in different ways.
Yeah. It's interesting how much of, like, recent, like, in the past, like, 10 or even, like, 5 years, television is, like, so based on, like, reality. Or, like the title character, even Rami is like that, right? Rami is loosely based off of Rami. Like, you know, there are certain truths in that story. His name and, like, the city and everything. Same with Mo. Same with Better Things. Like, I feel like so many recent shows are about... Maybe because it's, like, more real and the audience can feel that, but I do think it's interesting that we've kind of gone in that direction versus, like, some insane plot, which it still exists because there's, like, fucking, I don't know, Breaking Bad and stuff. But I feel like recently it's become more like semi-autobiographical stories, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, that seems to be the energy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just casually watching shows like that. But you're right.
Yeah.
Also, I was, like, looking at Rami's Instagram, obviously, because this is what I do. Is after I watch a TV show, I just look at everyone's Instagrams. And then I saw his, like, real sister, and I'm like, great casting.
Because
his real sister looks kind of similar to, like, curly hair, very similar to his TV sister. And then I went deep on his TV sister's Instagram, and I realized she's Layla from Moon Knight.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know why I, like, didn't make that connection sooner, because I watched Moon Knight in real time as it was airing, and it's her, like, it's fully her. I don't know why, I just, you know, at the time probably just didn't make the connection. It's weed. The weed is the problem. But but she did like all her own stunts for the most part. Like she posts a bunch of videos of her training and I was like, oh my fucking God, you're a badass. You gotta go watch her training videos. I was like, holy shit.
I will. I mean, I remember looking her up. She's first of all an amazing actress.
It's incredible. She like leveled up in my mind like 3,000%. She's like beating the shit out of people. I was like,
I gotta watch it. I haven't seen Moon Knight.
She made a bunch of reels of her like training. And the training is wild because you just see her like doing all these like fight sequences like with stunt coordinators. And it's like, but it's like hundreds of different clips. And you're like, holy shit. Like of her like sliding through the ground to like jump up and kick someone. And you're like, you did all this? You just did all this?
Wow.
Anyway, and this was me like laid up being like, how do you just move? You can just move like that? Your like agility is just there?
Yeah, that's wild.
You just run up and jump over a bunch of boxes? Like, what is happening? Anyway, go check that out. I should just tell you guys her name because now I'm...
Her name is May
Kalamui.
It used to be El Kalamui, but she's only been in the U.S. since 2015, which I think is like... so amazing because she's an Egyptian Palestinian actress and she moved here fucking 2015 and her career has like skyrocketed since then, which I think is really cool because she's so fucking good in Rami.
Yeah, you guys gotta go watch her like training sequences. It's next level.
Yeah,
I was like shook because I was like, oh my God, it's you, girl. And then I'm like, no Rami in sight, baby. She's a Marvel star. Yeah, nice to meet you, Marvy. I gotta go. Marvy? What did I just say? Rami? I meant to say Rami, but I said Marvy because I meant say, nice to meet you, Rami. I gotta go be a Marvel star or a Marvy star. Anyway, I'm unwell.
No, it's all good. I think something I do like about Rami casting and also just like recent castings in general, like they are really true to what the characters are. Like, she's Egyptian-Palestinian. The mom is Palestinian, played by a Palestinian actor. So the dad is Egyptian, played by an Egyptian actor. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's really nice that they're not making these shortcuts because I feel like you see that more often than not. You know what I mean? Like, they don't... Yeah. But yeah, I think Rami season 3, in my opinion, was so far the strongest season.
God, it's the season I turned on Rami the most.
Yeah. But like you're supposed to hate him. Like you're supposed to think he's like, not even hate him, but you're supposed to see him as someone who was just constantly needs to be worked on, you know, which is, I guess, all of us. But I think we talked about this last week, how they went to Palestine, or was that off mic?
No, that we talked about it on the show.
Okay. Cause I do. And then we did talk about it, but yeah, I think, this season, I feel like the first season was really good at like establishing the characters. They had episodes focusing on each character. The second season, it was only watchable because of Mahershala Ali, in my opinion.
Really? You didn't like the second season?
I thought it was genuinely, I kept watching for Mahershala. Like, I think he saved that season.
Fascinating.
It just wasn't my thing. But I thought it was good. I still really liked the show. I just thought it wasn't as good as the first season. But then this third one, I think they really like, they made their like themes really clear, and the ending of the third season is basically like an echo of like the pilot episode. So I think they're making it very like full circle and like reminding you of what the actual themes are for the show, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, I get it. Yeah, you know, I had a lot of, I guess I like really struggle because I guess I just, maybe it was my mindset in the sense that like, I was just, like, trying to watch, like, you know what? I don't even know. Like, I have so many feelings. I'm very emotional.
Tell me. Say.
Say. That's my dad's name. Say. That's my father. Call me Anna.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. My dad's name is Say Fola, and his nickname is Say. Okay. I digress.
You found yourself wanting to watch...
Of course, I've lost my train of thought. That's the only natural progression is for me to never remember what I was talking about to begin with. Yeah, so I just had so many emotions. One, it's like I kind of just wanted to watch like a feel good, like Brown Family Show in a weird way.
But you know that's not Robin.
Yes, I know. But yeah, and yeah. It's like, it's not like I was looking for like a Chuck Lorre, like ding dong, yeah, your right, local right. Arab is here sort of nonsense like he did with that one show. Remember that one show? It was.
Yeah, that was fucking a hate crime. Yeah, that was so stupid.
But like at the same time, it's like, I just like, here's the thing. There's one thing to like, have like adversity and like struggles and like you're, you know, not necessarily being the best person, but it just felt like all these people in Rami's family were all just such assholes and so self-involved that it was almost bordering on like unbelievable for me.
That's
like, I was like,
point.
There's no way this entire family is just created with bad people. Like, there was yeah. just so little redeeming characteristics from everyone. Like, maybe the sister, like, wanting to help, you know, like, the immigrant,
mm-hmm.
like, people who were, like, struggling to get visas and, like, getting screwed over by their workers. Like, yeah, like, her, like, cleaning with that lady. Like, yes, that's redeemable, but, like, the lying, the like,
mm-hmm.
It almost felt like she wasn't doing it for that woman. It felt like she was just doing it for herself. And then like the situation with the guy where the mom meets him off the dating.
Yeah.
There was so much where I was like, this is so, there's so many fucked up elements to this. And a part of me is just like, just someone be chill for 5 minutes.
You bring up a really good point. The fact that like, not only are all of these characters like, their good qualities seem to be outweighed by their bad ones, but you don't really find yourself rooting for them in a way, you know?
And I want to root for them.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my own sort of like idealistic, I just want to see some like happy, like not even like happy, but just like complicated, but also at the same time, redeemable people like who represent us.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't all have to be so like, oh, it's so tough being an immigrant in this country.
It was a little
like
that.
You need
yeah.
at least one person who's like has their feet on the ground. And I yeah. feel like that wasn't the case. Like, yes, I think in my family, everyone except for my mom is a shitbag. I will say it now. We are all shitbags. We're all angry. We're all annoyed. We're all agitated. We're all impatient. These are all my father's traits, just if that's not clear.
Oh my god.
Then, like, I mean, look, he's not like he doesn't know this, okay?
No, you
know,
say.
My dad's a torque, and I hate to say it, but torques, we're nuts, okay? I'm sorry mm-hmm. to generalize, but if you're a torque listening, you're like, damn, that's not appropriate to generalize, but she's right, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from. But my mom is such a, like, genuine human, like, she's such a good person. She doesn't mm-hmm. think bad about anyone. She has a lot of like sarcasm in her and like dry humor, but there's not a bone in my body where my mom would ever hurt anyone or do something to like just be shady. My mom's just yeah. not shady. And like, but she, guess what? She coexists with all of us and mm-hmm. she ignores our nonsense. And she just, you know, of course she has her moments where she's like, everyone stop fucking being insane. But like, for the most part, like she exists with us. So, like, to not even see, like, even a remotely a person like that who has some sort of groundedness, some sort of just, like, human aspect to them where it's not all about being selfish was tough for
yeah.
me. Because I was like, the realism yeah. is there would be at least one person who'd be like, guys, this is crazy.
No, I agree with you. I agree. Because even the friends were a little bit out of touch this season. You know what I mean? Even, like, yeah. Mo and Dave's character. What's Dave's character's name? Ahmed. But even they were a little bit like off kilter.
Yeah.
And I think you bring up a really good point because season one, you still felt for this. Like, you still were like, they weren't that bad yet. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, you were still kind of rooting for them. The Zumba episode with the mom, like, broke my fucking heart. Like, all these yeah. little things. But I think, yeah, I think you're right. In the third season, they really went hard in this, like, dark character.
Everyone's bad.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I'm like, okay. Even like with the therapist actually started out so promising in the sense that, yes, you're talking to a white person, so you're trying to explain these things.
Yeah.
And I've had white therapists my whole life. I mean, for the most part until recently where I was like, I can't keep doing this with white people.
Yeah.
I need a person who understands where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And she started out like, you have emotional trauma, you know, like this is emotional mm-hmm. abuse. And the sister goes like, oh, I thought that's just being Arab. And I was like, that's so real.
It's real?
Like, I thought it was just being raised in a brown family is like, that's how it goes.
True. No, you're right.
But then cut to racism really quickly.
Yes, exactly. No. Because I've also, I mean, I'm sure so many brown people have had white therapists, but
yeah,
because saying all these things to a white person is so different than saying it to someone that is just remotely familiar with what you're going through. Like, yeah. They don't even have to be the same race or ethnicity. They can just be someone of color or like an immigrant.
Yeah.
And there's already a basis of understanding. But I think like that episode was so unfortunately realistic about like what white people will do. Like what they'll hear something and run with it. You know what I mean? And that was just, I mean, I do appreciate that the white people were stupid.
The emotional abuse part, it's not wrong. Yeah. We are emotionally abused because our parents are kind of figuring out their own way and certain things, and like certain guilt is weaponized against us. Like, that's emotional abuse. It is what it is, you know? But like,
yeah, no, you're not wrong. Yeah.
I don't put like, you know, I mean, of course I did when I was younger, but now that I've like gotten to know, you know, like I've gone to therapy, I've talked to my parents, I've seen where my family comes from. I don't put as much weight in that emotional abuse as I used to because I've come a long way.
No, same. But sometimes I'll get triggered. I can't deny that. Like, sometimes something will happen and I'll revert to, like, my angsty self that had so much anger. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are moments, like, I'm, like, fine with my parents, but there have been times, like, as of late, where my mom or dad will say something where I'm, like, 3 seconds from a full-on blow-up.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to, like, step away. And there have been times where I'm like, Mom, just stop! And it's like...
That happened in West Virginia. Like, literally 3 weeks ago, my mom said something, she kept going, and I literally had to, I couldn't like engage. My way of dealing, which is to get up and leave, and that made things worse.
Same.
And so, no, trust me, I totally get it.
But for the most part, we've come a long way since our childhood where it was like, outburst, nobody understands me. Because it's like, you know, we've grown.
That was literally how I expressed myself, was with outbursts.
Yeah,
I didn't know
how
else to do it.
Exactly, me too.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing before you move on?
Yeah.
But, and then the thing about the food, like brown culture and food, that I'd never heard vocalized before. Mm. And it hit me in a way of like, brown culture is like, the food is the love. Like, it's how they show your love. They want to treat you. But then there's like this stigmatism around gaining weight. So you're kind of stuck in this catch-22 where they're like, eat, please eat our food. And it's rude not to eat. And then the second you like gain a pound, they're so quick to comment on it.
Yeah.
So she said that and I was like, oh my God, that's so interesting. I've never heard that vocalized before. But I've always thought that of like, why do they want me to eat so much and expect me to stay thin? Like brown food or just like our culture, our food is heavy. It's a lot of stews, rice, you know, like,
and it is really pushed on you.
It is
because it's like a respectful and generous
and you're not supposed to turn it down.
Been vocalized. Yeah, it's
never
been vocalized that way, and it's true.
So
because,
I felt in that moment I was like, oh my God, that scene with just her, I felt seen. And then cut to the like group setting and I was like, oh fuck, this is just racism.
Yeah.
And then
you
know, you guys, as you guys probably saw, it's a lot of white people. Basically, they bring the mom. The mom is like, fuck you, I'm not emotionally abusive. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Which is just like, she's just basically me.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny.
The point.
She's an amazing
actor.
Hayama Bus is a great actor.
Yeah. Love
incredible.
Her.
And then they're like, we'll have these white people play your parents. And they immediately start doing accents. And it's like,
Indian accents. Like offensive, bad, like caricatures of people.
Yeah. And then like making weird stereotypes almost immediately that the mom didn't even get into. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
That's what I'm saying. They hear something and they run with it.
But that was to my point of like, it starts out promising and then everyone turns out to be evil and bad. And
that's a really good example of that. Because at first you're like, wow, I feel seen and this is relatable. And then they'll take something in the show and they'll just go all the way right or all the way left, you know? I just wanted to go to a break before I forget. Let's take our first little break.
Oh, yes, please.
And we'll BRB.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back. I did want to say the food point that you brought up is so relatable because literally, like, the first comment sometimes my family makes when someone enters the room, my uncle will come in and they're like, where did that big belly come from? Like, literally the first thing, before hello, before anything. Like, weight is so focused on. At the same time, food is really focused on. And, yeah, there's no... I don't know. Every culture has their issues, I guess. But
it almost literally feels like the only way to survive is to just have, like, good genes. Like, genes that don't, like, make you gain weight fast, which is a crazy thing to hope for. Just so you don't get picked on.
Because athleticism isn't very valued. It's not very, like, we don't go on fucking hikes. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you see an Arab family randomly going camping together. It's like, that's not what at least for me, maybe there are modern people out there that are like, I did that. Lucky you. But I feel like even in, like, the Middle East, you don't see someone fucking jogging around. You know, people will think you're running from something. It's just
I will say I did go camping growing up, but my dad is very outdoorsy and active.
Oh, so can't relate, but I'm happy for you.
We went camping, but it was my dad also just goes to the gym every day. But my dad's obsessed with himself. Mm.
My dad's the opposite. He does not like to move.
Yeah, my dad is so obsessed with his looks. Mm. Like, it's all he thinks about.
That's interesting.
He goes to the gym every day. He's like, I gained 2 pounds. I'm like, you look the same. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, he's so into himself. And he's
that
always
is
like,
so interesting. He sounds like someone that can be a character.
You've met my dad.
I like your dad, but, like, he's definitely a character, you know?
My dad is probably, like, 90% of the reasons I would be, like, self-conscious about my looks. Because he'd always just be like, oh, that's what you're wearing. And you're like, who are you? Stop judging me.
It's so funny.
But then he'll always be like, love that outfit. You look so great. But, you know, you probably could lose a pound or two.
Oh,
and you're like,
God.
Ah. Anyway, that's what it's like to have a brown dad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not all of them are the same, but they all have the same sentiment, which is like, oh, you're going to look like that? And you're like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Because you demanded I eat 4 kebab. So, like, how dare you? Thank you for creating the body dysmorphia that will ruin me.
Yeah. I mean, I could go on and on about food trauma that we went through in Syria and here and, like, literally,
I have,
like,
it to this day. I'm terrified.
Yeah, same. My uncle would, I remember, like, they would, like, when we were younger, they would, like, feed us bites, and there were certain foods I did not like, and I have, like, literal, like, memories of a bite being shoved in my face. But we were also, like, my sister and I were on the thinner side. That was also something they, like, we were too thin, and then we would eat, and then they would comment. We'd go back to being too thin. They would give us stuff to, like, stimulate our appetite. Like, there are so many wrong things in either direction. But anyways, let's go back to Rami.
Hey, you know, that's a good show. It sends you on your path.
Yeah. We should do a whole episode talking about food, Because I feel like we might have touched on it here and there, but like there's so much to get into when it comes to
drama of food.
And at the same time, I don't want to bash our culture. Like I don't want to bash any kind of brown culture, but there is like there's so much beauty in our food, and there's a flip side where it's like how much is too much.
Yeah, I agree. You
know? Yeah.
It really is like it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. I don't even know what to think half the time. Like, I feel like self-conscious eating food at my parents' house. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. Like,
I shouldn't feel that way, but no, I've you like, shouldn't. You know,
it should be a safe space and it's not.
It should be. My parents comment on everything. They're like, oh, another sandwich. You're like, what?
Oh my God.
Or, I don't know. I mean, not another sandwich is like crazy.
I know what you mean. They comment on everything. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're going to have chips. And you're like, dude,
fuck off.
It's fucking surveillance state in my own parents' home.
Oh, God.
Oh.
I hate that. I don't like that for you.
A second
at all.
Cup of coffee. You're like, what?
Yeah. That is something that I have tried to improve myself on is the need or the unconscious thing about commenting about everything. Like, I used to be very, I don't have a filter. I don't think any of my family has a filter, but like, that idea of like thinking something and saying it out loud or noticing something and just like commenting on it.
Yeah.
I've had to really train myself to not do that. Because I think it's a very like, I don't know. It's not even a brown thing, but it's just I don't know what it is. And it's just to family. It's not to other people outside your family, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't care for it.
The uncle and Rami takes a strange turn this season because although he's a terrible person, he's an anti-Semite, he's a racist, he's a misogynist, he hates himself because he's gay. And the actor is so good that like you really feel for him. And there's an episode this season where like he starts to really scare you because he just like gets a little bit violent. And it's funny because you texted me about this, like they it starts with them fighting over the bill. And it's like, it's like classic. Like it starts with a really classic trope that we can all relate to, like fighting over the bill. But then they take it one step too far and like a weapon gets involved. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so, I don't know. I don't know what the word is for that style of storytelling, but it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, just also the fact that, like, the police weren't called.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was crazy. I mean, and just to give some context, also the uncle is kind of, like, on one in the sense that he feels like he may have been caught getting up to his sort of, like, sugared
baby
daddying some gay men or something. I don't know. And he feels like he's caught by the sister. So, Dina. So, he's, like, really starting to lose it, and it kind of all comes to a blow at a Chinese restaurant that the family's having dinner at, which the the uncle of course keeps bringing up, like, the Uyghur Muslims who are being enslaved in China, and he keeps being like, do you think it's okay that you guys slave the Uyghur Muslims? And of course the people in the Chinese restaurant are like, what
are you talking about?
And woke king who's also not woke at all. And and then it, you know, and it escalates into the classic fighting over who pays for the bill. Which, by the way, I was in Utah recently, and my mom's best friend, who's like maybe 5'2", give or take, literally almost, and my dad, who's like 6 foot, this woman, the way she was able to literally fight my dad to pay the bill, I was impressed.
Wow.
She came for that man. They like went at it, like holding each other back, and she was able to take she's 5'2", let alone bones, you know, like tiny little lady. And I was impressed with her ability to be able to fight my father off to pay the bill.
It can become a little bit aggressive.
Literally was standing by in this restaurant watching these, kind of similar without the physical. They were like pulling each other back, like, no. And I was sitting there like, Dad, she's like 5'2" and all bones. Like, come on, dog. If you really wanted to throw her out of the way, you could. But obviously he wasn't going to do that. But
right.
I don't know. So anyway, it ends with that. And then that turns into a bigger fight, which leads to the uncle pulling a gun out, which I thought was a funny line where the mom was like, go talk to your uncle. And Dina's like, he has a gun. And the mom's like, he always has a gun.
And she's like, be careful. There's some really funny shit in the show.
But yeah, I thought that was just like, that all just stemmed from him feeling just all his pressure.
Yeah.
And like anger.
Because he's never been able to understand his emotions or process them. And so literally they come out in these explosions because of self-hatred. And that's really sad. Also, the Uyghur Muslim reference is so funny to me that the uncle brings it up at the table, because in the first episode or the second episode or whatever, Rami is saying that like his uncle's jewelry is like unethical because it's made in China. And the uncle is like, yeah, but it's made by Muslims. And Rami's like, are you talking about the concentration camps?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah, Muslim is a Muslim. So the fact that it goes back to him bringing it up is just like a very hypocritical, funny thing at the expense of people that are genuinely suffering. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the, it's unfortunate.
But at the same time, I appreciate that Rami is, the show is like raising awareness about certain things. I appreciate that they talked about Israel and Palestine. I appreciate they talk about the concentration camps, because it's a show, one show about one Arab family, and they can't possibly do everything. You know what I mean? They can't possibly be lighthearted and tragic and funny and all of these things. You know what I mean? Hopefully, I mean, the same way that Mo happened, hopefully this opens doors for other shows to be different things, you know, instead of having one show that we all watch hoping to feel everything, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's funny. So, okay. So the cousin bit. So in the first, I guess the end of the first season, and then like most of the second season, there is like this gross relationship. I guess it was normal. Maybe it is still normal in certain places, but Rami gets involved with his cousin essentially. And they present this very taboo subject in this show that is pretty mainstream of a show. I think they did the same thing with the polygamy issue in season 3. Like, they brought this, like, pretty taboo thing as far as white people are concerned. And they made it, like, a central story plot, at least for, like, an episode or two. Which I find interesting, because it's not like we, like, Arabs don't usually talk about, or even Middle Eastern people, that isn't, like, a topic that we talk about. It's like, they had to, I feel like they're finding these taboo subjects and emphasizing them because it's, like, interesting, but I don't think it's, like, for a person that doesn't know a lot about Arab people or Muslim people, I find it a little bit troubling that's focused on, or that's even mentioned, because they treat it as something really normal, and it's not normal. Like, no Muslim man that I know has multiple wives, you know? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that, I don't understand that storyline. It was really crazy to me. And then, but I did think, like, the guy who lived in Brooklyn was pretty funny. It was just, like, all the houses are right next to each other.
Oh, he was funny. It was a funny story. It was, like, entertaining. But, I mean,
there was a warning before the episode, though, which I thought was funny.
There was a warning that I thought was funny. I had to pause it and be like, what are they saying? And I was like, oh, it's, like, a sarcastic warning.
But it's, like, not sarcastic in a way of, like, this isn't it.
But I think a lot of people that aren't informed about religion and actually have, like, Muslim friends, I think they can, like, watch something like that and kind of run with it. Like, even the cousin thing. I know someone that stopped watching, like, a white person. She was uncomfortable watching Rami after he slept with his cousin. You know what I mean? And I was like,
are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. So I was thinking about that for a long time, being like, I think it's gross too. But for whatever reason, I'm able to understand where they're coming from and still separate that as, like, one story that is made up, literally. But it made me sad that certain storylines, whether it's the cousin, whether it's polygamy, people that don't know any better or people that just want to judge something will see that and just be like, wow, brown people are gross. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
That's so wild.
That made me mad. I know. But yeah, I kind of felt the same way when that polygamy storyline got brought up, because I was like, I understand what they're trying to do. Like, it's entertaining and it brought up some funny scenarios. But I think it can be counterproductive for an uneducated audience, because I want non-Arabs and non-Middle Eastern people to watch Arab shows, you know? And if they're going to be turned off by things that aren't even that common, like, I don't know. It just made me kind of, it's unfortunate, I guess, is the end of that feeling.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, especially when it's like, it's not exactly like, I don't even know. Like, it's not, I don't know. I guess I can understand that. But also it's like a TV show. It's like if you can watch like Game of Thrones.
Exactly. I got an argument about that same like parallel the other day.
You just don't like it because it's brown people and it feels too real versus like a fantasy. Like,
yeah,
this isn't real.
No. Okay. I know the plot points of the new Game of Thrones series, Dragon, whatever. So if this is a spoiler, I'm sorry. Tune this out. But literally at the end, the main character ends up with her fucking uncle, and it's like this will they, won't they romance, and they end up together in the end, and it's like basically celebrated as like them getting together, even though he's like a psychopath and literally her uncle. But those dynamics are so common in that made up fucking white ass show where it's like niece and uncle, brother, sister, father and child, like father and like a child's friend, like their child's friend,
yeah,
or like whatever it is. And it's glossed over and accepted even. And yeah. I think it's really problematic. This is maybe a different topic for a different day. But like literally so much of like porn fantasies are stepsister, stepdaughter. Like, you know what I mean? There is these like very taboo things that are used to fuel the porn industry and all of these sick fantasies. And even if it's subconscious, having it presented in that way where it's normalized on this giant ass TV show, I have a lot of problems with. I don't care that it's made up. It's like the subliminal messaging, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah. That does make sense.
Yeah.
And that's wild. Also, like, that's like a person who says I can't watch that is kind of refusing to understand brown culture. Like, they're refusing to understand, like, a situation you could be in where you did not grow up with someone. Mm-hmm. So they are basically a stranger to you. So, yeah. Like, when you have feelings for them, it's because you don't know how to, like, process them as your cousin. And you're refusing to, like, accept that that would be something that we would have to deal with.
Yeah. Also, it makes me feel shame in a way because, hey, my grandparents on my dad's side are cousins. I haven't met my grandfather.
Yeah, so are mine. My grandparents on my mom's side are second cousins.
I know my aunt is married to her cousin. You know what I mean? Like, it's still normal for certain people, and I don't like it. This is not me, like, being like, yay, cousins. But when a white person is, like, disgusted by that stuff, and it's, like, a reality for you, it's, like, not a good feeling. Because, like, I can't control that. That I'm like a product of like cousins on one side of my family. Like, I don't fucking control that. So this inherent shame that comes with like white disgust that is only felt for brown people and not for fucking made up white people. But I don't like it.
Wait, I remember there was an article in the New York Times years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a study. New York Times, no genetic reason to discourage cousin marriage. We may have talked about this. So I guess like you're percentage of like having a birth defect is like 3-4%. Look, I'm not encouraging this, okay? I don't think you should marry your cousin. I think branch out, baby. But I'm just saying like the sort of disdain for it if like a brown person does it. I just want to say like this article came out in 2002, so I'm sure the research has gone further, but they said there's no biological reason to discourage cousins from marrying. I mean, outside like the social you know, disdain for it. You really only...
I think if it happens over and over again, that's when it becomes biologically unsound, because that's usually what happens. Like, a lot of families, not just in the Middle East, but, like, the idea of being, like, pure whatever is, like, kind of important for some people. Like, my dad's family, like, his brother married his cousin. They don't have a problem with their daughter marrying her cousin. You know what I mean? Like, for them, it's normal and even, like, maybe preferred because it's their bloodline. And I don't agree with that. I think it's not, like, medically or, like, any kind of, like, I just don't agree with it. I also don't want to judge it because I know people that have done it and I love them. And they have, like, for example, my aunt who married her cousin, she never grew up with him. For her, he was like a stranger to her. So they rationalize it that way, which is fine. But now this couple, they have children that live in Canada And I feel for these kids if they ever find out, like if their friends ever find out that their parents are cousins, like what will that do to these children? They have no control over who their parents are. You know, like there is so much shame that comes with things that you can't control. And it's kind of like emphasized when people automatically like judge it. And
I agree. And it's like, and then you get made to feel a certain way. I mean, just from this episode alone, I feel crazy being like, why are you guys so like tough on cousins getting married? But like at the same time, I'm kind of like, it might not be for me, but like I think we should give more sort of
like room.
Give more room to understand for like people who live in the Middle East or Europe or like in countries where it's not easy to meet people, and it's more culturally appropriate to marry someone who is in your family and is like a second or third cousin. But that's the thing, second and third cousin, you're sharing like 3% of DNA or something. Like, I know that's not fact. Don't quote me on that. But like, that's like what it is. It's like first cousins share 12.5% of their genes. And 6.25% of their children's genes will consist of pairs in which identical copies have been inherited from their parents. So that gets lesser and lesser the further you're removed from that cousin.
Yeah. And it makes sense that like the further it goes, the less risky it is. I still think it's an archaic practice. I want it to fade out, but until it does, there are so many people that still are living with the consequences of, or not even consequences, just our reality. Like, you and I can't help our fucking family tree. You know what I mean? Like, we're just here.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm not doing it, but
yeah, of course
I can't judge certain people or worlds or countries who do that because it's not my world.
No.
It's not my place to judge them because I don't know what their lives are like.
Yeah. So,
I mean, can I judge Rami a little? Yes, because Rami's character has proven to be problematic.
He's just like not a good person. And
no, he doesn't care.
But again, the fact that people can be turned off by something that they don't know and automatically judge a whole culture for that, I think, and at the same time, you can't rely on one fucking show to teach everyone everything. And there can be shows that are like controversial, totally. But I do think when it comes to certain things like fucking cousin marriage and polygamy, where people don't understand what that is and also don't understand how uncommon both those things are in the relative scheme of things.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Well,
yeah.
My grandpa was a polygamist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think I know it.
I feel like that when you say it out loud, I'm remembering something, but...
My grandpa had 2 to 3 wives at one point.
I mean,
exactly the details. My mom doesn't like talk about it a lot because I think it's probably one of the main reasons she left Iran to come to America because she didn't really want to be a part of that scene. But
that's fair.
That's in my family. My grandpa was a polygamist, you guys.
And that's not something you can control.
Isn't that crazy? I'm saying it out loud, but I've known it for so long. But like also just saying it out loud to be like, yeah, I have polygamy in my family. It's not the case anymore, but like... And it's also really sad that, like, literally my grandpa, like, just ditched one of the wives.
That is pretty sad. Did she have children?
Yeah, all of them had children. But my aunt, who recently passed away, was one of multiple wives as well. Mm. And I have a cousin who lives in America who is she's from the other wife, but she's still my cousin. Like, she's one of the other wives' granddaughters, but she's still my cousin because we come from the same family. Like, we might not be directly blood related, but I still consider her my cousin, even though she was the granddaughter of another one of my aunt's wives.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still family.
Yeah, of course she is. But that's the other thing. Like, I would still go to say that it's uncommon, right? And having people that don't understand cultures that are not theirs watch something that is telling them, like, this is how this culture is, this is how this religion is, like, especially with, like, so much Islamophobia in this fucking world.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just think storylines like that are counterproductive. At the same time, I want so many types of Muslim shows to exist, so I'm not, like, mad about it, but it did make me second guess it, especially when that person was like, I can't watch Rami anymore, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Anyway, before I rant anymore, let's take our last break. Before I forget, and we'll come back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
And we're back.
We're back.
Just to be clear, I don't agree with polygamy. I don't think you should have multiple wives personally. That's a personal choice, but I can understand why you would in like Iran.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
But you have an open mind enough to accept that it happens and that you can't like control your history. And
yeah,
like, I don't know. It's, I think shutting something off because you think it's weird is stupid. Obviously, there are lines to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I still liked this season of Rami. I thought, like, it reminded us, again, like, of the main theme of, like, season one or just, like, the show in general is this, like, kid trying to be a good Muslim or a better Muslim, which is, like, a little rare when it comes to a Muslim character who's, like, usually trying to, like, break free or something. So that turned it on its head, where you have this character trying to be a better Muslim, trying to know God better. Then you find out that he sucks and
yeah.
is the opposite of what he wants to be.
Yeah.
And then in this season, he, like, kind of has abandoned God altogether only to like come back to it later. And I think it's like an interesting relationship. Like the main relationship in the story is probably between Rami and God. You know what I mean? And it's like not a good one.
Yeah. Can we talk about the like Muslim sheikh grifter?
Yes. Oh my God. I can't believe I forgot about this. What? That was my favorite part of the entire show. There's this song called Shaitan.
It's like Islam Khan or something. I don't even know.
It's like Islam Khan. I loved that scene so much.
They go to this like Islam Khan where this like famous white sheik.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's just Muslim who's like, he's like an influencer Muslim sheik. It's so confusing. Mm-hmm. Like he does prayers on like Insta Live and has a bunch of followers. And then he has this like guy group, two like Muslim men who like, they like dress cool. And they, like, sing, like, vibey songs with, like, auto-tune. And they're, like, and the one song that they have famous for is, like, there's always three.
There's always a third.
There's always a third. That's what it is. Yeah. There's always a third. And then it's Shaitan. And if you guys don't know what Shaitan is, it's basically the devil.
Yeah. Satan. So basically it's saying, like, don't hook up with someone before you're married because there's always a third.
Yeah.
And it's the fucking devil. And yeah. The actual song is so fucking funny.
It is.
So
it's really funny.
Fucking funny.
And then the sheik has, like, a rap verse.
That was the best episode, I think.
Really
I love that episode.
It was really funny. It was really funny. And I just kept telling Zach, like, there's a third here. Shaitan. But then if you're married, though, what was it? The third is God or something? I forgot. I don't know. But, like, it's just really funny. It's just like great use of like pop culture meets like Islamic, like westernized culture. the idea of like a influencer chic who's also a white guy and clearly a grifter because he's like a total asshole behind the scenes. Like he's not as like, you know, such a godly man like he claims, which, you know, that's Islam. You guys might not realize, but Islam is clearly abused. That's kind of what it is. A lot of men abuse.
Yeah. Oh, they're called the Halal Brothers. The Halal Brothers.
That's right. That's the group, Halal Brothers. With their like vibey auto-tune like sleeper hit.
Oh, apparently it's a parody of toxic and exploitative Muslim TikToker influencers that actually exist. Apparently that kind of thing exists and it's a parody of it. I had no idea.
Going live to do prayer is crazy.
That is crazy.
And to be like, what's up, followers?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's like, also buy my shit.
Yeah.
Let's go out to pray.
Then he's like, 100K to influencer. Dude, what is this?
Yeah. It is a reminder that everything's a scam. But also his whole thing is like also like reminding you about the people, like the white evangelical speakers that have these like, tense,
like the Falwells. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like the same vibe that is like very real today, but you see it for the first time with like a Muslim white grifter, and it's just so fucking funny. And the Halal Brothers, that song is just genuinely good. I genuinely like that song. So I appreciated the Halal Brothers. Okay, so apparently on Reddit, they're saying that it's parodying like actual people. So I want to know like who these people are that they like are referencing.
I just Googled top TikTok Muslim influencers. Oh. Kay Huntley, that's just a white woman. Just Being Kareem.
Oh my God, I did find someone. I'll try to find him again, but this guy on fucking Instagram literally made me so mad because he's Muslim, but he's also like an incel. You know what I mean? And it's about like people being like women always being obedient to their husbands. And like, he's not unattractive and he has a good way of speaking. And so he makes all these videos and the comments made me so mad.
Really?
It made me so mad. I'll try to find him again because one of them was about, where's my phone? It's in my, I sent it to my sister, so it's going to pop up pretty fast. So just give me a second, because one of them made me so mad. And so people like that exist. But people like that exist with every religion, which is like unfortunate, but reality, I guess.
Halal Brothers, never forget.
Never forget.
There's always a third, Shaitan.
Literally, okay, one of the questions on this guy's thing is about how like yoga is like haram, or like yoga is but he says that yoga is like not allowed because there's only one God but Allah, body blah. There's another one about like marrying someone you love shouldn't be like a thing, you should like just marry someone.
Okay.
And there's another one where literally, okay, I'm just gonna send you this one and you can watch it later. This whole guy's page makes my brain break. That one I just sent you is about how feminism, is it haram?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, watch that one when you have a chance.
Wait, feminism is not haram? Oh my God.
Look
what
it
a
up.
Take.
Anyway.
What a fucking
I guess, I guess this is hard to explain if we're not all in the same room, but my whole point is that people that are stupid exist in every religion, in every culture, and I think Rami did a good job of towing the line between the reality of that and also like the surreal craziness of it, because I don't know. I like that it's like semi like Atlanta in that way, where it's like something so surreal and outrageous happens, like a black Justin Bieber. But that reminded me of like the Shaitan thing, where it's like it's bordering on real, but also like unreal. Does that make sense at all?
I don't know, Shireen. Feminism isn't haram, so I really can't answer. That is the wildest, most, first of all, not surprising and yet incredibly problematic take I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think this is?
Just wait till you hear this guy. Wait till you hear him, like, rationalize his way into things. And if you read the comments, I'll send you some more shit. I don't know how I came across this guy's page, but I could not stop like spiraling out about it the more I scrolled down.
I'm getting like stomach pains from this.
But speaking of Atlanta, by the way, Atlanta season 3 best season so far, in my opinion. Go watch Atlanta. But I do think there's some influence of Atlanta in Raw Meat a little bit when it comes to the surreal stuff, where it's like,
oh yeah,
based in reality, but also something so outrageous, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think you guys should go watch Raw Meat. If only for this fucking Shaitan song. It's just, go watch Raw Meat. And also just, like, support work that's important and, like,
yeah,
diversify your fucking mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Diversity is haram. Just joking.
Oh, no!
That was my vibe. Guys, diversity is haram. And you know what? There's nothing I can do or say about that.
Do you want to know something funny? Okay, so for Halloween this year, I dressed up as a bag of marshmallows.
Yeah.
Which I find very funny because I love marshmallows.
Just joking. I was just laughing.
Thank you. That was a little bit of a rude, sarcastic laugh, but I'll go for it.
Is that better?
But so growing up, we weren't allowed to eat marshmallows because they're not halal. We have gelatin in them, the good ones. Like, they make halal marshmallows, but from what I remember, they're fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
So the jet puffed marshmallows are like the king of the marshmallows, and I just love them. And I happen to have a shirt. Like, I needed a costume very last minute. I was not planning on going out. I have a shirt that looks like a jet puff bag. I printed out the logo, put on my shirt, whatever. I went to this party that I didn't know the person there. My friend took me to it, but it was basically like a lot of Muslim writers. And I didn't know a lot of them, but going to the party dressed as like a non-halal thing, I thought was really funny. Like, oh, haha, I'm going to this Muslim party dressed as like something that is like not halal.
Yeah.
And it's like a longer shirt where it's like, it probably cuts off like right in like the middle of my thighs, this big shirt I'm wearing. And so I think it's funny that I'm going as someone dressed as like something that's not halal. I show up there and like everyone is very modest looking. So it's not only that I'm dressed as like something that's not halal, but like my legs are showing, and somehow I'm like self-conscious of that all of a sudden, and it becomes like haram in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it was just, it was funny in my head. It was like a Curb moment only happening in my mind. You know what I mean? So I thought that was a funny storyline that I had.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah,
exactly.
That's funny. It's all just Muslims being like, you know, feminism is haram. Where did you text that to me?
I Instagrammed it to you. He's on Instagram. Great, so you can watch that later. I'll send you other things that broke my brain. But you're going to hate me for this. You're not going to like this man.
Feminism is haram. I'm stuck on that.
No, the question, basically he answers people's comments. You know how like people on TikTok can like take a comment and then like answer it? It's like that. So someone basically asked him, is feminism haram? And his answer to this.
Who is asking that?
Dude, I don't know. His followers are, they need help. But yeah, anything else you want to say about Rami?
No, I think feminism haram has broken me.
I do think it's interesting that Bella Hadid was in this season. And like her role was very small, but it was still funny. Yeah.
I actually did want to know, why doesn't she drive? They just like wouldn't answer that.
I thought they were going to reveal that in the end as like some bit, but they didn't.
I love that she's obsessed with The Office.
Yeah.
Just like weird.
Yeah.
Just like, okay. Oh, that's really funny. There's a lot of really funny stuff on that show that you're just like, all right.
I did realize that most of the female characters, if not like all of them, even season one and two, they're either related to Rami, like his mom and his sister, or they're like sexually interested or involved in him. And so Bella Hadid was like one of the only characters that if was a woman, this like a female this season, that had no interest in fucking Rami. Like, I feel like that's like a problem I see with the show a little bit, that like they don't have a diverse, like not every female wants to fuck Rami. Like, I'm sorry, but it does seem like that is like the, I don't know. But again, not every show can do everything, but I did like that Bella Hadid had no interest in him.
Yeah, that was an interesting character.
Yeah, interesting for sure.
All his friends turned on him by the end, and then he found God.
Did he, though?
I don't know, to be honest with you. That shit made me kind of... The ending kind of also bummed me out. I was like, okay, well, use that money to support your family.
Yeah. Like, there are so many times in that show that was just a fucking bummer moment. Like, The stuff with the dad really made me sad because he's a really endearing actor. So when he was like struggling, I was like, ow. And then the stuff with like his, I don't know, there are certain things that just like bum you out. And it's, I guess, like ultimately it's a bummer of a show, but like it's supposed to be, if that makes sense. But still good. Go watch it.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Go watch it. I still have like 1,000 more thoughts, but I can't even like put them into words right now since Shireen told me feminism is haram. I'm like broken oh from God. That, but I think it's, I have to go watch that. And
we'll do a part two about Rami when you organize your thoughts.
Our next one, we have to talk about Industry.
Oh my God.
I've been texting you about Industry. Shireen, it's so hard to finish that show. I've been trying so hard to finish that show.
Talking about your brain breaking, that show breaks my brain.
It's really annoying me.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it and we will talk about it, but my God, does it annoy me.
I mean, another show where you're not rooting for anybody because everyone fucking sucks.
Yeah. I did watch Don't Worry, Darling, though.
Oh, I did too. What were your thoughts?
I mean,
I thought it was bad.
It was all right.
I thought it was just bad, but also a little bit like childish. Like kind of like, I'm not a fan of things that always repeat images. Like,
yeah.
Constant flashbacks, or like literally in this case there was like a montage that replayed like 8 times, and I'm like, I get it. So I thought it was bad, but, and it also felt like 5 hours long. It was a really long movie.
Okay, here's my thing. I thought Florence Pugh, great actor.
She's amazing.
I thought she did great.
Amazing.
Everyone was great in it except for Harry Styles, which I know that was like a thing. But, and guys, if you haven't seen Don't Worry, Darling, I'm about to make a big spoiler alert.
So, alert, alert.
So, please jump ahead like 10 minutes or something, or the episode will probably be done by then. But you can just end the episode now. Okay, spoiler. Harry Styles is an incel. Have you seen something?
I thought you were going to talk about his accent.
No, his accent was also batshit, but Harry Styles is an incel.
Yeah.
Have you seen something more? Here's the thing. They also didn't do a good enough job where I could suspend my disbelief for a second.
Yeah.
It was not it. I was like, okay, I'm looking at you dressing Harry Styles as what you think an incel is.
Yeah. And I literally think they made him British in his like sim character and not in his real life is because he couldn't do an American
accent. Yeah, because he couldn't do an accent. Yeah, that's clear.
There's one scene where he's like mad at Florence Pugh and he makes this face that looks like the mad emoji, like this.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I'm talking about? It's just
that shit was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway.
When he's like, hey, baby. I like put a wife beater on him. I'm like, okay, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah. They really lost me a bunch of times in that movie.
But anyway, watch it because it's just for the lore of it all.
It was fun.
Shout out Asif Ali, though. Asif Ali was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Great role for him. I thought Kate Berlant was funny in it.
She's so funny. I did think that every character thought they were in a different movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Kate Berlant belonged in a comedy version of that movie. Like,
yeah, she was great in it.
Florence Pugh belonged in actually a good version of that movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I thought it was everyone was doing really great. I will say, like, so many plot holes.
So many. Nothing makes sense.
I was like, what?
It's a bad movie.
It's not a good movie. So anyway, whatever.
It was fun to watch it in a theater because the audience laughed every time Harry Styles was on screen.
That's good. That's a good like group viewing.
Yeah, we all went through something together. It really felt so fucking long though. Like there are 90 minute movies that feel 5 hours long because they're so bad. This was one of those that was already long and then it was bad, so it felt longer.
It was definitely way too long.
Yeah,
but also at the same time I feel like they didn't really cover as much as they should have.
No.
Mm-mm. Like it was so long.
Yeah,
it was not good.
Yeah, there was like an image that felt similar to something that I've only made like 3 things, so it's not like I'm saying a lot when I'm saying this, but I made a movie where a character sees a plane explode in the sky and she runs toward it and then you find out later it's like a toy or something. That's like literally the main plot of one of my movies. So that felt kind of weird to watch, being like, am I this basic to think of something so basic?
Yeah.
But it's fine. I got over it. I guess I made that a long time ago, so maybe I've grown. Anyways, that's all I gotta say for now. What about you?
Yeah, I'm done.
Great. Okay, that's the show. You know where to find us if you want to. Bye.
Goodbye.
Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.